mother truckers. Welcome to another episode of the Hollywood Hick coming at you from what sounds like a war zone today. I don't know what the hell's going on out there. They are tearing the hell out of a bridge, jackhammering like a mother trucker. I'm telling you, right outside the Hollywood Hick compound, just up from Hollywood Boulevard, outside the Florida Room, spitting distance from the most famous intersection in all the world, and they are tearing up a freaking bridge. Oh, Hollywood and Vine, that's the most famous intersection in all the world. They are tearing the hell out of the bridge over there. I don't know what the hell's going on. It sounds like a war zone, just jackhammering. Sounds like gunfire. Sometimes I think it's thunder. Got me on edge today, y'all. So I apologize in advance for anything I might do. But as I said, this is the Hollywood Hick coming at you on the Crab Diving Network right here in Hollywood, California, sounding like a war zone. But you're listening to the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com. And then if you want to hear this shit when it comes on every day, it's on the 7s or the 10s, whichever side of the world you live on. But if you're on the West Coast, 7s, East Coast, 10s, anywhere else in the world, y'all do the math. I got faith in you. You can do it. But comes on every day on the... Oh, and midnight California time, I'm also told it's being run now, I think. Or at least it was. So hopefully it still is. But they put it 3 o'clock in the morning on the other coast over there. But whatever. Or you can download this shit as a podcast off of the iTunes, off of the Crab Diving website, www.crabdiving.com. I think Stitcher has it. It's all over the damn place. So if you can't listen to it when it's on the air on the website, then you can at least grab that shit and listen to it at your convenience. You can also tweet me at Brent Paris, 2 R's in Paris, or the H Wood Hick, which I'm trying to get up and going. So at the H Wood Hick, you can also tweet that, because apparently the Hollywood Hick was too long by one letter for fucking Twitter standards or some bullshit. That's that. So all that business out the way, y'all. Okay, we are still on Bobby Christina watch. This shit is getting nuts. I knew it. I knew it from the start. It's getting fucking nuts. It's getting crazy. It's like a complete soap opera. You knew it would be. It just started 3 years ago when Whitney was found. Actually, it started way back with like being Bobby Brown, probably even before we started to see it at being Bobby Brown, the greatest reality show in the history of reality shows. Now it's like real life crazy. Like this is like just, it just delves into straight up sad, y'all. It is just straight up sad because there's this boyfriend. We thought it was her husband, not Nick Gordon, right? And they ain't letting him see her. Like, because they think he might have been done something, like she apparently had markings that looked like something might have happened, some kind of abuse or some kind of fight or something. I don't know. They're not telling you shit. So I don't know. Everything is speculation. Even the TMZ only has so much. And they're even careful to put everything. It's like according to the source close to the family or any of that bullshit they do. But according to the people. Well, no. Actually, we got to go back further. That is more current. Okay. So basically, they won't let Nick Gordon see Bobby Christina, even though he's like been making like hollering from the rooftops that he wants to see her because he cares for her. I mean, for better or worse, it's obvious that he cares for her, even though it is kind of creepy that he was sort of like her stepbrother, I guess, or adopted brother, but not really. They grew up together and like, it's just a little bit weird. But whatever, I'm not one to judge because as we all know, Dolly Parton says you can't judge or you're already sinning. So I'm not judge. I'm just saying, to me, it's a little weird. Who knows what the heart wants? I surely don't know what the heart wants. My ass is perpetually single. So I can't speak to that shit. And so I digress. But basically, Bobby Brown is like trying to say that I'm calling bullshit on him trying to see her, that they gave him an opportunity. But then come to find out there was like, it seems like one of those like sort of like, we'll let you if you do shit that he wasn't wanting to do, or like he'd like whatever, or his lawyer's telling them not to do or whatever. So basically bullshit. But like Bobby Brown's lawyer comes out, because Bobby is, I mean, it is his daughter, he can do whatever the fuck he wants, but Bobby Brown's lawyer comes out and says, he quoted this off the TMZ, but according to his lawyer, it says, to address the continued and never-ending media request to comment about Mr. Gordon's request to visit Bobby Christina, let me be very clear. I love how lawyers talk, such pompous shitheads. But it's like, Mr. Gordon was offered an opportunity to potentially visit Bobby Christina and he declined to meet the terms of any possible visit. Well, see, that's think meet the terms. Like, what are your fucking terms? Like, I'm starting to get on his side, and I wasn't at the beginning. I was on Bobby's side, and I'm still on Bobby's side, but the rest of his family is a little nuts. I mean, you don't freaking hit your kid over the head with a bottle at somebody else's birthday. I don't remember how all the family relations worked in that, but it was Bobby's birthday. Somebody got cracked over the head, had to get stitches with a bottle because it called somebody a crack whore, made some comment, allegedly called somebody a crack, one of the people there a crack whore, who I think was his mother, but or aunt or something. I don't know. hell, I don't know. But basically, they're like, the lawyer basically hinted that he wants him to like sit down with the police, which he probably should do. But I guess his lawyers are saying, hell no, shut the fuck up. We taking the Cosby road on this one. We taking the Cosby road on this shit. Ooh, and I got a good Cosby little tidbit. I'll let y'all know after we cover the Bobby Christina update while we're on Bobby Christina watch. And but this is fucking getting nuts. So like, they're like, basically, we're only concerned with individuals that can help Bobby Christina and bring resolution to the investigation. That's what this lawyer is saying. But it's whatever. So it makes like, basically saying, he's like, obviously Mr. Gordon is not as desperate to visit Bobby Christina as he wants the world to believe. That's what he says. Well, how long do you think it'd take for freaking Nick Gordon to start calling bullshit on that? Because I love how they all have to talk to their damn attorney. Can't nobody talk for their fucking self. It's just so fucking nuts. That's the world we live in now. Thanks, people. Y'all put it here. It's not like it happened by itself. But according to Nick Gordon's attorney, his client and his legal team advised him to reject Bobby Brown's conditions. Nick has repeatedly offered to meet with Bobby in private to clear the air rather than go through lawyers. But Bobby Brown apparently said, hell to the no. Hell to the no. And ain't having none of that shit unless he does it his way. So then what has happened is, Bobby Brown is like really pissed off because he's saying that Nick Gordon refusing to talk to the cops, and Bobby is like really starting to ask a lot of questions. And this part is fucking brilliant. I didn't even put this together unless this is a new something that I just, whatever. I didn't read this part because sometimes, you know, I can skim some shit trying to find the good parts because it's like, it's a lot of fucking reading if you're trying to keep up. But this is, could not be more fitting. But Bobby Brown's lawyer, Chris Brown, the dude's name is Chris Brown. I am not making this shit up. I'm reading it right now off of the TMZ reported, I think this morning. Yeah, no, yesterday morning. This was whenever. It was just yesterday. But his name is Chris Brown, of course. That's fucking brilliant. He says that Gordon refused to cooperate by coming clean with any events that led to the medical emergency. Because, I mean, it's obvious by this point, too, that like that drugs was involved. It's just too fucking obvious. And, I mean, I'm sure he's trying to cover his ass, and everybody's trying to cover ass, and they want to just like whatever. But I mean, honestly, there's something fishy went down. Somebody somewhere has to know something. But Chris Brown, it appears that Mr. Gordon did not want his understanding of the facts to be subject to the truthful examination of various experts or Bobby Brown himself. Ooh, I would love to be in the room when Bobby Brown interrogated him. That would turn the light on, and he'd just be like, oh, I can't even. It's a bad impersonation. I'm not even going to do it. But he said Mr. Gordon has every right to remain silent and not share his version of events with Bobby Brown. He added, Mr. Gordon is not as desperate to visit Bobby Christina as he wants the world to believe. That's what we've already been through. Okay, we've already been through that. And then 3 seconds later, Nick Gordon's people started to tweet about it. That's when it gets good. Okay, now we're to the tweeting section of the thing. That's what I was trying to get to. Whew, that was a long road to get to the tweeting section, wasn't it? But basically, Nick Gordon started to call bullshit on Bobby Brown for straight up real. Apparently, he has effectively had it. Like the straw that broke the camel's back must have done kicked in. Because yesterday, he started tweeting. He said, this is a tweet he sent to Bobby Brown, but you know, a tweet goes out to everybody. And he's like, man to man, I love your daughter. I don't know why you won't let me see her. Your daughter is going to hate you when she wakes up. It's not like you know her anyways. What's her favorite color? What's her favorite smell? Movies, food. You don't know. I forgive you. She won't. Ooh, that is some serious laying down the gauntlet shit right mother trucking there, y'all. Ooh, Nick Gordon ain't having it. And like, I think he tweeted more. Let me see if this other thing has it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he started going on tweeting more because, you know, they've been acting crazy. Like, and the Browns are crazy. I watch B and Bobby Brown, and a lot of them are like what people would refer to as crazy. They're characters. They all have kind of like a personality. They just are who they are, and it's just whatever. But they're not some of the classiest people I've ever seen on television either. And that is why I enjoyed watching it so much, because that's the kind of shit that I like watching. That's why I watch Mob Wives, because those women are nuts and make me feel better about myself. And also because they're nuts and they're fucking fun to watch. And if you're not watching that shit, you should be. If you're not watching Mob Wives and Empire, you're doing yourselves a complete and utter disservice. I'm just saying, public service announcement right there. But okay, whatever, I digress. But Nick Gordon kept on going. He tweeted more. He's like, crazy how all the Browns came to the hospital when this went down. I've been with her 24/7 watching over her and mom. That's the creepy part. He still calls Whitney mom, and they both had the same. It's weird. That's the creepy part. But then he goes on. Bobby left when it got heavy. He's like, I have to remain strong for me and at real BK Brown, Bobby Christina. Bobby's seen his daughter 4 times in the last 5 years. Now him and his family want Whitney's money, which belongs to Chrissy and or Sissy. Go check out the few pics he has with her. Check out Chris and I pics. Dude is a joke playing out. He is here for publicity. Dude is not playing. He kept going. Listen, at the end of all this, I took care of Whitney Houston and Chris, which was very hard on someone my age. They cried on my shoulders. And then he goes on. He goes, I don't care as long as Chrissy is okay. I wish I could trade places. Dude, Nick Gordon fucking put Bobby Brown on blast. He called the whole family. He called, he's like, none of y'all were around until the fucking this happened when there's like money to be had. He basically said, y'all are looking for the money, the Whitney Houston money. Because Bobby's declared bankruptcy a couple of few times, if I remember right. But I mean, he straight up goes for the jugular. He's like, seen his daughter 4 times in 5 years, which is probably true. I don't see that many pictures of him. I mean, I'm not on this guy's side because honestly, I think something is really fishy with why he's quiet and everything. But at the same time, he does make valid points. Like, it's like a soap opera. Like, you're like torn. You're like the rope in the middle of all these people getting pulled in all kind of different directions. That's why I love Empire. That shit, finally, a nighttime soap opera worth watching since Dynasty. I'm not kidding. They tried with like Melrose Place and shit like that, which is good a little bit here and there. But nothing to the level of Dynasty. And I've never said anything could maybe even come close to Dynasty. And I ain't saying it's there yet, but it's got the ability, it might, maybe, I'm just saying is all, just saying. So whatever, what I'm saying out, this Bobby Christina shit is nuts. There's a poor girl laying in a hospital bed somewhere in Georgia and clinging on to life by a thread, which I mean, just basically machines are keeping her alive. It's really sad. And I know everybody's praying for it and miracles have happened, I guess. But it doesn't sound good because from what I understand, her organs are shutting down and that's that's just the beginning of the end. And it's really, really sad. And I hate that. But and then all this drama behind the scenes is just nuts. Just nuts. I mean, Sissy Houston, Whitney's mama, she tries to play like that I'm a classy black lady role. I bet she is up there shaking her head like, oh, my sweet Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us all. You know, she is just fucking ready, just beside herself. And poor Whitney is probably cutting somersaults up in her grave. All this nonsense going on. Tragic. Tragic. All right, we're moving on because now I'm depressing myself. Oh, but I'll tell you one thing because I did make the Cosby reference and I said it because I've just been couldn't wait to fucking tell people about this because it's great. Because you know I'm always bagging on Cosby now because I think he's a complete and utter serial rapist who has been allowed to do this for so long and he's super creepy. And the fact that he threw his daughter under the bus and was willing to do all this unsavory shit and like people have covered it up for him and blah, blah, blah. And even though I just can't wrap my brain around there's people who like just still think these women are all making it up. I don't understand that. My brain doesn't think that way, so I can't. But I love it when somebody comes out and fucking blasts his ass. And what happened was, Richard Pryor's ex-wife, but because he's passed away, but she was married to Richard Pryor. She basically put his ass straight up on blast and like minced zero words. She basically said, here, I'm just going to read her quote because it is fucking to die for. And then she was basically like, they were talking about how he was like clean. She's like, she was defending. They were making the comment about how Bill Cosby was, oh shit, what does it say? He got candid of, in her opinions of her late husband's peer who had been in the center of dozens of rape allegations, blah, blah, blah. Bill's a fucking hypocrite. That's what she says. Okay, here we go. Finally, I found it. Sorry, sometimes these things just are hard to find. Okay, Bill's a fucking hypocrite and dirty on the inside. It was a well-kept secret that Bill fucked everything that moved. I love that shit. And then she defended her husband before slamming him again. She was like, Richard was dirty on the outside, but he was a good person. He was clean on the inside, which I guarantee you is 100% the truth because that's just how people, that just makes sense. But she's like, Bill, fuck. Like, that's what she said. She just went, fuck. And then something like that, because they bleep out part of it. I don't know why. But then it says, but here's the full thing she said. They're asking about him being clean and Richard dirty or something like that. But she was like, Clean, oh clean. He hated Richard because Richard worked dirty. Bill worked clean. Bill's just a fucking hypocrite and dirty on the inside. It was a well-kept secret that Bill fucked everything that moved. That kind of shit that we're finding out is beyond. I wasn't aware of any of this kind of business. There are people in the business who were aware of it, and they're coming out now, too. There are 34 women who have stepped forward. I love this woman. Richard Pryor married a fucking good one. She's like, fuck this shit. He was like, he was dirty on the inside. Ooh, that's like, that's fucking cutting. But that's, I love how, okay, so everybody, in case you didn't know, somebody who knew the man is saying he's a fucking asshole. She, everybody knew he was fucking everything. Like, we just didn't know he was drugging it before he fucked it. Because apparently people just want to turn a blind eye. I don't know. And I mean, I'm sure she was, she probably wasn't in any position to see that part. But I know there was a lot of people who had to have known what was going on and just didn't fucking care because the money was fucking coming in. Some straight up nonsense. I don't get it, but whatever. That's it. So Bill Cosby, moving on. But that's it. I just love that, like, Richard Pryor's wife came up and be like, that's a motherfucking hypocrite. Fuck his ass. He was fucking everything that moved, and everybody knew it. I love what she's like, and everything is way beyond now. So, all right, we have to talk about it, because I live in Hollywood, and the show is called The Hollywood Hick, here on the Crab Diving Network. But, I guess y'all, like, probably all knew that there was a television program came on the other evening, and everybody was supposed to watch it, but apparently a lot of people didn't watch it. Ratings were really down. But what I'm talking about is them damn Academy Awards, where all these Hollywood types go out there with their fucking dick measuring contest, patting each other on the back for job well done or whatever kind of, like, award they were able to buy. Because I am thoroughly convinced, because Disney won both the animated things for the short and the feature, then I just, honestly, I feel like there's just some kind of bribery or something involved, because Big Hero 6 was a cute movie, but it was not the best animated film of the year. Like, that's bullshit. That's straight up mother trucking bullshit. It was cute, yes. Best, no. And I mean, the other little Pixar short is cute, but it's like some of the other stuff, I guess I'm rooting for the underdog on that one. That one I'm not as upset about. But fucking Big Hero 6 was cute, but it was not all that. For real, Lego Movie didn't even get nominated, and that mother trucker was the one who should have won, because it was original, it was smart, it was funny, it was for all ages. It was exactly what an animated movie was supposed to be about, like, for everybody, and like an original idea. And then looky here, fucking Disney. Always fucking Disney. Fuck Disney. Fuck Disney. But all right, let's talk about some of the things that happened at the Oscars. Some of the things that happened. One thing I am going to say, which I always find bullshit, because I look at the fucking, like, list of people who won and who are nominated for everything. There are hardly any comedic type roles or anything that get nominated for Oscars. Like, they don't, it's like they just don't exist. Like, it's like people, like, well, the people think that all this drama is so hard. That is not as hard as comedy. All these dramatical people sitting there fucking, like, if you're being Stephen Hawking, yeah, you have to be able to act and, like, pull that off. But to make people laugh for 2 hours, that takes a lot of motherfucking work. And there aren't that many people who can actually pull it off. Very good. Case in point, Richard Pryor's of the world. Never got nominated, but some of his shit was hysterical. Hysterical. See, I think people like that should get in there. And I think then, like, superhero movies get a fucking bad rap too. They're the most entertaining movies of the year. You cannot tell me under any circumstances that Guardian of the Galaxy was not the most entertaining movie of the whole entire year. I'm talking sheer entertainment value. And that is what movies are supposed to be about. I should go and be able to escape to something else and not get fucking depressed and have to listen to people get hollered at and, like, just see, watch generally bad people do generally bad things. I don't know why we're so fascinated with horrible people and everything. I mean, granted, I'm guilty of it, but I've always been guilty of it. I've always liked watching that shit because it makes me feel better about myself. See, at least I know why I watch it. I think a lot of people watch it because they don't get it. They're just fucking straight up nuts. Straight up nuts. But I mean, I go through these freaking things. I'm looking at none of the actors are, like, hardly funny people. I mean, Grand Budapest Hotel, I guess, could be, but I haven't seen it. Like, I haven't seen any of this shit. But, like, if you look at this, Birdman, I guess, maybe is supposed to be a little bit funny, but not funny, not funny, not funny, really not that funny. It's more serious, looks boring. Not funny movie. Actresses, not a funny role, not a funny role, not a funny role, not a funny role. Like, none of it. None of it is for being funny. And then the dude who won Best Supporting Actor, that J.K. Simmons, he's such an insufferable asshole. I have very, very, very firsthand knowledge of what a fucking dickhead that guy is. And I just can't support that. That's the only thing that bothers me. It's like Hollywood loves to freaking award bad behavior. They just totally love it. And it's all of our faults for like paying attention to it. I get it. But it's like, why? Why? I don't know. Moving on to things that happen. Oh, did y'all know? Okay. Now, I have this new website that I adore. It is my new favoriteest website, and it is called Blind Gossip. That's just the name of it. Not just like on something where it's Blind Gossip. It's called Blind Gossip. It claims to be the number one blind item site in the world. Well, some of this shit is not very blind, because I don't know if y'all saw Terrence Howard on the Oscar program, because I did actually watch. Okay, I will say, like the last awards program, what was it, the Grammys or something? I just watch clips on the web. I can't sit through that shit. But I did hang out with a couple of friends and watch the Oscars, so I did see part of it, although I did talk over a lot of it, because, you know, I wasn't going to keep my mouth shut the whole time. And but so what was I talking about? Oh, so Terrence Howard came out just fucking wasted, talking a bunch of nonsense. Like, I couldn't even figure out what movie he was talking about, who he was trying to praise. And then all of a sudden, it was the one about the theory of, not theory of everything, the whatever. He was announcing one of them uppity movies, the one about the gay guy who figured out the code for World War II or whatever, that one, with Benjamin whatever his name is, comes in batches, whatever his name is. I can't say these people's names. Benedict Cumberbatch. I always just call him comes in batches because I can't remember his fucking name. But whatever. Terrence Howard, I'm getting to the most obvious blind item I have seen on here in a while. But apparently, according to this Blind Gossip site, which I am now in love with because it gives like stupid shit that only I care, not only I care about, apparently a lot of people care about it, but I just fucking think it's hysterical. But I'm looking on here today, and they're doing things about people who have been on the Oscars, obviously. And this one could not have been more obvious, but apparently my new favorite television program, Empire, the patriarch of Empire, Mr. Luscious Jackson, but they call him Lucius, but it's spelled Luscious Lion. I said Jackson. Why did I say Jackson? Lucius Lyon, spelled Luscious. So basically, on here it says that MediaTakeout.com, that's a website, I think they specialize in like hip-hop gossip and stuff like that, but it had a very, I love how they use so many R's, very interesting discussion with a Hollywood insider whose good friend is one of the writers on an extremely popular TV show. Here's what they told us. I always thought that the Hollywood gay casting couch was fake, but it is real. I saw it with my own eyes. My good friend is a writer for a popular show, and when we were developing the project, they were looking at a bunch of well-known actors. It came down to two names, Wesley Snipes and this popular actor who goes unnamed because he is the blind gossip for this right here, but this is the most unblind gossip ever, if you ever read one anything. But then it goes on. I think most people thought that Wesley would get the role because it fit him better, which actually it does. Like, he would be much better. And I'm not the world's biggest Wesley Snipes fan. I think he's kind of a dick too. But at the same time, he would have been better in this role. But what happened was the openly gay producer was leaning towards Wesley too, but popular actor really wanted the part. He and producer spent the weekend together in Malibu. I guess he gave up his butt to producer, because when the producer came back, he said he made his decision and was going to give the role to the popular actor and not Wesley Snipes. I hope popular actor is really happy with the role, because he paid for it with his butt. Wow. I love how they use a lot of zeros. I mean, zeros, O's. Wow. Dudes is out your, oh my God. Who's right? Okay. They don't even spell, they're like slang, right? Whatever. Dude is out your giving up their luscious booty cheeks for a part. Amazing. I don't know what the fuck Outchia, O-U-T-C-H-E-A. I've never even heard that. I don't even know what I'm supposed to sound out there, but whatever. But if a dude is giving up their luscious booty cheeks, okay, this is the dead giveaway. Luscious booty cheeks. Notice I called him Luscious Lion instead of Lucius. I've been making that joke ever since the show started. They're talking about Terrence Howard, who apparently let, what's his name, Lee Daniels, the dude from like Precious and The Butler, and he's like the producer, executive producer on Empire. So apparently Terrence Howard wanted that part so much, he was willing to take it up the old backside. So that's fucking hysterical. Good for you, Terrence. I bet you liked it. If you gave into it, I bet you had a good time. I'm just saying is all. But yeah, apparently, according to this, allegedly, and they don't say who, and I'm just using the context clues as are provided to me, and the fact that I knew that Wesley Snipes was the one who almost had the same part of Luscious Jackson. Why do I keep saying Luscious Jackson? Lucius Lion. Why can't I fucking, why do I keep saying Jackson? That's stupid. But okay, what I'm saying is this was pretty fucking obvious what it was, if you would have any clue of what's been going on that show and how it came about. So that's fucking hysterical. This is a fucking blind sight. Is full of them. I'll probably tell you another one in a little bit, but that one was my favorite one. The Terrence Howard, and I hope he used baby wipes, by the way, because you know Terrence Howard says that people aren't clean unless they use baby wipes. So I hope he used baby wipes before he let it happen, because I'm sure he did, because I mean, people, if they're going to openly talk about how you think people are not clean unless they use baby wipes, then I'm sure before you went to that casting couch, you I would hope did the same. Did exactly the same. Okay, whatever. Moving on to something else. Okay, what else happened on those stupid Oscar television program? Oh, okay. So then freaking Neil Patrick Harris came out, right, in his underpants. Big freaking deal. Okay, this is my issue with that. It's not even an issue. He's got a great body. He looks good. But he's got a little, like, his face looks older than his body. Now, I'm sure people are going to, like, give me shit for saying this. But if you look at, like, maybe it was the makeup not matching because his face was an entirely different shade from the rest of him. But something about him, when I looked at him, I was like, your body is nice. Like, you looks like nice, fit, young man. Not really my type. I prefer a little bit of, like, hair on the chest, more a little bit manliness to it. Whatever, it's perfectly fine. I probably wouldn't kick it out of bed for eating crackers. But what I'm talking about, or this cracker in particular. But what, but what I'm saying is, his face did not match the body. Like, something, his face looked a lot older to me than his body did. So if that's the case, he needs to start using sunscreen and moisturize a whole lot more, because that's what I'm just saying is all. Because I look less old than I am, because I have been moisturizing since like the ripe old age of like 13. That is where the homo gene comes in handy, because we do stupid shit like that. We're like, no, I gotta moisturize this shit now because I don't want to look 900 when I'm 40. And that's what I'm saying is all. So what else fucking happened on there? He was in his underpants. They completely stuffed his like front side of those underpants. It was completely obvious, which I mean, I guess I would too. I'm trying to think about it. But I mean, he was not a good host. He was not a very good host. His jokes fell flat. That whole thing with Octavia Spencer started to get on my damn nerves. And you could tell she didn't want to be part of it. She's like, would you shut the fuck up? That's what them big eyes of hers were saying. Dude, shut the fuck up. Leave me out of your shit. Your jokes are fucking dying. Leave me out of this. Fuck. She's like, I was on a roll here. Now you're making me look bad. That's what the fuck she was saying. Whatever. What else pissed me off about it? Now I'm on a roll. Oh, they snubbed Joan Rivers. Where was she in the memoriam? If it wasn't for her, nobody would be standing out in front of that stupid building getting all this attention, all this free press about wanting to know who wore what. That is Joan motherfucking Rivers. Besides the fact that she was in a bunch of movies, she wrote a couple of few movies. And basically, yeah, she's the reason any of them wore anything worth looking at last night. Joan Rivers is the reason anybody put any effort into what they looked like at the Oscars for the last 20 whatever years. They were like, if I don't want to be on that fashion police show and then end up them talking shit about me. And they still get butthurt about that. They still get completely butthurt. One of them, I don't know, some chick showed up and she had dreadlocks, like new ones, and that scrawny ass Juliana Rancic or whatever her name is, she, who by the way needs to eat like a fucking day's, like a whole pile of like In-N-Out cheeseburgers or something. Like, that chick is too skinny, and don't give me that shit. See my, like, no, it is unhealthy. It is unhealthy. But she apparently made some quip, like they were doing, like, she's on Fashion Police. The show that Joan Rivers started is about being catty about what people wear to shit. They're just talking smack. But she made a comment about how with those about her dread. God damn, I can't talk all of a sudden. But she made the comment about how her dreads probably smelled like patchouli, and then she goes, or weed, because it's a joke. It's not a funny joke, but it's a fucking joke. Well, who gets her freaking panties all in a bunch and fucking goes on, like, I'm telling you, that one little comment about her dreads smelling like weed, which is a bad reference, yes, but traditionally, They were known to be worn by Rastafarians who smoked a lot of weed, unless I am completely wrong. And if I'm 100% wrong, then somebody correct me. But I'm pretty sure that that's where the stereotype comes from. So she made a bad joke. Wasn't any need to go on a freaking Twitter rant or Facebook. No, this is the Facebook, because you can't get this many words on the Twitter. They would be like, hell to the fucking no, bitch. What the hell? This thing, she's like, goes on and on. Like, it goes on and on. I cannot even read the whole thing. I ain't even gonna do it any kind of that. But she's like, there is a fine line between what is funny and disrespectful. Oh my God. Now, just by that line right there, I know that this chick has little to no sense of humor. Her name is Zendaya something. Did I say her name? It's where the fuck is it? Something 18-year-old Zendaya. I guess she's just a one girl, one word person like Madonna or Cher. But Zendaya Coleman, but I guess she just goes by Zendaya. She adds her Coleman part when she's making a point. But she said that's just not what is funny and disrespectful. Someone said something about my hair at the Oscars that left me in awe. Not because I was relishing in the rave outfit reviews, but because I was hit with ignorant slurs and pure disrespect. To say that an 18-year-old young woman with locks must smell of patchouli oil or weed, in quotes, is not only a large stereotype, but outrageously offensive. You know what's offensive? That you even fucking paid any attention to anything coming out of Juliana Rancic's mouth. You should not put any credence to anything coming out of her dumb ass scrawny mouth. That's all you have to do. You don't, if you walk around waiting to get offended, like I honestly think Zendaya, and if I hope I'm saying your name right, and then I all kind of hope I'm not, but because I get names wrong all the time, so don't feel you're special, because obviously you feel fucking butthurt over somebody making a bad joke. But it just cracks me up that everything has to be so offensive and so hateful. Like, you can't just laugh something off. Nobody can laugh anything off anymore. It's just so ridiculous. So completely ridiculous. What else did she say? She said, I don't usually feel the need to respond to negative things, but certain remarks cannot go unchecked. No, you wanted some fucking publicity. That's what you wanted. That's what you wanted. Blah, blah, blah. She goes on about, like, people. Like, oh, then she goes into all kind of, like then it gets into, like, this when it goes crazy. And it's like the end. I love when she likes to end with India, with a quote from India Ari about I am not my hair. She just made a bad joke. Whatever. I can't even read the whole thing. And but the last sentence says, I suggest some people should listen to India Ari's I am not my hair and contemplate a little before opening your mouth so quickly to judge. Oh, my sweet Jesus Lord. How about maybe you don't open your mouth so quickly to condemn somebody who made a damn bad joke? Get over yourself. You know who I'm broke the fuck up with this time? Zendaya. I don't even know who the hell you are, but you need to lighten the fuck up. And if you can't lighten the fuck up, then the Hollywood hick is done broke the fuck up. That's how that shit's gonna go. I don't even know who you are or what you do. You are apparently some kind of actress, but you ain't much of an actress if I don't know who you are, because I generally know who people are, even if I can't stand them. So, yeah, that's the thing. Screw you, Zendaya. Whatever. Now I'm moving on. See, I digressed into a whole thing there, but that just kind of bothered me. Why you got to be like that? Just get over it. It's all freaking funny. It's a joke. She made a bad joke. She's on a show where they're making fun of people. You're going to get butt hurt, then don't watch it. Don't watch it. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then she has to, okay, whatever. And then I'll let this go. It's like Juliana Rancic had to tweet her, I'm sorry I offended you and others. I was referring to a bohemian chick look. Had nothing to do with race and never would. Like, see, that's the thing. It wasn't about race or anything. It was about the whole Rastafarian hippie sort of thing. Like, dreadlocks are generally associated with that culture for whatever reason. And they don't always apply. Like, there's exceptions to every rule. But Jesus Christ. And Kelly Osbourne, I kind of used to couldn't stand her, but now I kind of like, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I'm not even going to answer. We're done talking about this Zendaya person. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody's just getting so butthurt over everything these days. Just calm down. Calm down, people. Just chill. Just chill. So whatever else happens. So Joan Rivers got snubbed. That's what started this whole thing. Joan Rivers. See what happens when Joan Rivers gets snubbed? A homo goes into a freaking tangent tirade about some Zendaya person. He doesn't even know who it is because she gets butthurt over a stupid bad joke. Totally ridiculous. Okay, so apparently, also, the Hollywood hick was not the only one who thought that the dude who won for adapted screenplay for, I'm going to look on this thing and find the Imitation Game. I've been trying to think of that. I keep calling it the Theory of Everything, which is that other one, I think, with about Stephen Hawking, where the dude won for best actor. And they always win for an affliction. Why? If you want to win an Oscar, get a part with an affliction, because then you are guaranteed a win. Don't try to make anybody laugh, because that's too easy. But just act like you have an affliction and you're a fucking shoe-in. Whatever. That's just my little freaking opinion. But whatever. So I apparently was not alone thinking that that dude was straight up homo town, right? Like, I thought he was one of the team. Like, we were all pitching for the same side or playing on the same side, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. But apparently, according to him, he is not a homo. And I mean, he did give a good speech. Like, I actually just shut up and listened to that, because I do like what he had to say about, like, be weird, embrace your weirdness, and, like, it's good, like, it will get better, blah, blah, blah. Here, but you know what? I'll let him say it. So here is his speech that, and tell me when you listen to this, this does not sound like a straight up homo. Like, it was not an unsafe assumption at that point in time. It really wasn't. I mean, not all effeminate men are gay, but apparently this one is not. So I mean, I will take his word for it, because I've met people who I'm like, that mother trucker has got to be gay, and they will swear up and down that they are 100% down with the poontang. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I was completely wrong in my assumption. That is what I'm saying, because you know I do not judge, because Dolly Parton says you can't, or you're already sinning. We've already been through this. I think we went through it earlier in this program already. Sometimes I have to say that a lot. I say that to myself a lot. Do you ever have to have a come to Jesus talk with yourself? I had to have one recently, saying quit being a lazy ass and like not doing the things you're supposed to be doing and just going to work and doing this and half-assing everything. Yeah, sometimes you just have to give yourself a talk. And then now I'm cleaning up my act, kind of like dealing with the shit that I was just ignoring. just like trying to like be a little bit better about my appearance instead of just wearing a hat and a floppy ass t-shirt. So yeah, the Hollywood Hick is trying to better himself. Who would have thunk, right? We're not going to say I'm going to succeed. I'm just going to say we had to come to Jesus talk, and maybe this one will take. They don't always. Okay, whatever. I digress completely. But sometimes you just need to come to Jesus talk, and sometimes it's best to just give one to yourself and be like, you're an asshole, and you said you were going to do this, and you hadn't done shit. So how about you get off your ass and do it? And how about you quit being a lazy, no good, procrastinating motherfucker? Because I can procrastinate like nobody's mother trucking business. Runs in the family. My papa did it. Pretty sure my brother does it. It just, we all got it. We called a case of it. Procrastination itis or whatever the fuck it is. Whatever. Okay. Twice now I told myself to shut the fuck up and go on with the clip. So here we go. This is the dude, Graham Moore, who ain't a homo apparently, his acceptance speech about basically be weird and fucking love it. So here is Graham Moore at the Oscars giving a pretty good speech. See, I'm actually talking about something that I liked and not things that I just want to like shove down people's throat. So want to hear it? Here it go.
This and look out at all of these disconcertingly attractive faces. And I do. And that's the most unfair thing I think I've ever heard. So in this brief time here, what I want to use it to do is to say this. When I was 16 years old, I tried to kill myself because I felt weird and I felt different and I felt like I did not belong. And now I'm standing here. And so I would like for this moment to be for that kid out there who feels like she's weird or she's different or she doesn't fit in anywhere. Yes, you do. I promise you do. You do. Stay weird, stay different. And then when it's your turn and you are standing on the stage, please pass the same message to the next person who comes along. Thank you so much. I
support that sentiment 100%. Be weird, mother truckers, because weird people are more fun in all kind of ways. They have a personality. They're their own person. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't let nobody tell you any different. I agree with this dude. There's apparently not a homo. I can't believe it. Did you listen to that? Like, honestly, what other assumption would there be to make other than that guy is gayer than the Hollywood Hick? And I'm really, like, honestly, I'm a really bad homo. And he sounded like a really good one, so I was shocked. And I'm not trying to be an asshole, but I'm just saying is all. And I agree. And also saying, y'all, like, you're in high school and, like, you're, like, thinking that you're, like, awkward and weird and all of that stuff, and you haven't come into your looks yet, don't worry about it. Because the people who were hot in high school, let me just tell you, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. People who were hot in high school, when they're 40, look like hell hit at 150. It's the people that were dweaky, dweeky. Dweebs, geeky, scrawny little shits like me. I was a scrawny shit all the way through high school. Like, did not like blossom till after high school. Like, really after college. I was like early 20s before I hit man size. And then once I did, motherfucking the Hollywood hick is fucking hot as hell. People always throwing themselves at me. Well, usually. It used to happen more. But still, I'm 45 almost years goddamn old. And I'll tell you what, people are still throwing themselves at the Hollywood hick. So just don't think that because you're young, it's not going to happen. Because it probably happened later when you can enjoy it. By the way, you can enjoy it. So fucking ride that ride. Because if you're a scrawny shit in high school, chances are you're going to be a much better looking adult. And it's better to be a better looking adult instead of some fucking has-been who peaked at 16. Because that shit is straight up ridiculous. And I have seen people in my high school who were the hotties back then. And not all of them held up. A couple of them kind of did. But for the most part, they didn't. When you peak in high school, you're fucked. You are straight up fucked. It's great for 4 years. And then after that, it's just a slow ride down for 99% of them. It's just how that shit works. I can't change the way it is. I'm just reporting on the news. Actually, that's not even news. That's just my personal fucking opinion. What the kind of accident was that? I don't even know what the fuck I slipped into. I'm not even drunk and or high. I'm doing this completely sober, and that's probably my problem. This is the first completely sober episode of the Hollywood Hick in recent memory. I'm just saying is all. So if this is better or worse, then let me know. Because if it's worse, that means I should drink more and or smoke more weed before I do this stuff. But if it's better, then that's another reason why I shouldn't be drinking so fucking much. So I'm really hoping it's the latter. Or it's all the same, and you can't really tell any difference until I fucking fess up. So I'm just going to let that shit go. All right, what else happened at them Oscars? Then it's time to move on to some other subject. But there was this one. I fucking love this one. This dude, I swear to God, talk about trying too hard. Completely trying too hard. Because last year, I'm talking about John Tramother Truckin' Folta, his dumbass, with the... I don't know what kind of critter he had on his head this time, but he is, every time I see him, it's like a different critter, like a different thickness of critter too. Sometimes it's a little thinner, sometimes it's more full, sometimes the hairline's low, sometimes it's high. I mean, it's obviously a wig. Like, we know he's bald, and I can't say anything about that because I got the patch in the back. At least I got the hair in the front. So the way I figure it is, I can't see that shit. So why do I have to worry about it? Whenever I look in the mirror, I see me looking foxy from the front. Everybody tells me I look like Clark Kent. That's what I'm telling you, kids. When you're like young and you think you're scrawny and stupid, no, you'll grow up and look just like Clark Kent and people will throw themselves at you. It's fucking awesome. I'm just saying is all. But apparently this stupid homo that he doesn't want anybody to know who's a homo, but John Travolta is apparently was the creepiest dude at the Oscars award. Just for being creepy, because it comes out with Idina Menzel. I'm not pretending to be able to say her name right. All these people with unpronounceable names. Taye Diggs, she's getting a divorce from him. His name's easy, but she has to be hard. But he comes out, because he's called her Adele Nazim or Dazim, whatever he said last time. So they come out to make a joke of it, which was a good idea. Like, no water under the bridge, everything's fine. We've moved on. It was funny. I got a lot of publicity out of it. You did too. Let's just move on. It's a funny story, right? But then he has to come out and be all face-holdy and weird, and like you could see it in her eyes that this was just straight up weird. But he's got to like show his love for women, because he doesn't want you to know that he likes to take it up the old backside and suck some major dick, but that on a massage table. Apparently that's his vehicle of choice for his gay sexy times. But I mean, the freaking critter on his head, Lord have mercy, I just got another look at it again. But then he blamed, after that creepiness, and then like apparently before the show, like at the like walking in on the carpet, Scarlett Johansson is posing for the Papsaran scenes, and he comes up and creepy like puts his hand around her on her waist and like kisses her on the cheek and stuff, and you could see on her face at one point where she's like, oh my God. She's a pro though, she like just suffers through, but she's like, oh my God, this creepy ass homo Scientologist crazy person is like all up on my freaking biz. But apparently, the reason he said Adele Nazim or Adele Zazim or whatever the fuck he fucked that name up the last time, I don't feel like getting a clip of it. That would take effort. And you've all heard it a million times. But apparently, the reason he fucked up is because this is a quote from him. He said this on the Jimmy Kimmel show after the Oscar ceremony. He says, as I get backstage, I run into Goldie Hawn. Now, Goldie Hawn is charismatic, sexy, beautiful, got the amazing, I'm sure he's making titties thing, right? And he goes, and I was starstruck. I'm starstruck hugging and loving her up and forgetting that I have to go and do this bit. I love the last line of this, like it's off of whatever website this is. But they're like, spoken like a true and definite sex, straight sex haver. Yeah, like, dude, it's that he who doth protest too much. John, let me just tell you, we're everybody's own to you. There's no shame in it. Like, people are coming out left and right everywhere. It's fine. You got plenty of money. Your wife obviously knows about it. And if she doesn't, she lives with the biggest set of horse blinders on of any person I've ever, like, heard of in the history of ever. I'm just saying is all. But, yeah. Dude, quit trying so freaking hard. It is not attractive. It is. You looked straight up mother trucking creepy. As mother trucking creepy as mother trucking creepy gets. That's how mother trucking creepy you were. You get it? So if you hear this on the off chance you are listening to the Hollywood Hick from here in Hollywood, California, just spitting distance from the most famous intersection in the whole world on the Crab Diving Network, www.crabdiving.com, you are creepy McCreeptown mother trucking creepazoid. You got it? Okay, moving the truck on. I came across this story of this woman, of course, Florida. Now, I was going to talk on Bill O'Reilly today because, you know, he is completely 100% butthurt that people saying that he, Brian Williams, did some people about some shit down in like somewhere. He was in some war zone that apparently he wasn't really in. But I don't have time to get into that because I have a couple other little make me feel better about myself stories that I think we all deserve because I feel like talking about them. So next time on the Hollywood Hick, we'll tease it for next time. But next time, I'll give you my take on Bill O'Reilly and his dish it out but can't take it-ness and the complete absurdity of it all because I can't stand his blowhard ass. But what I can stand is bitches who make me feel so much better about myself, and thank God for the state of Florida because there are so many of them there. There are just so mother trucking many. But apparently, there's a Florida mom. I love this. When it starts out a Florida mom, that means you know something's up with the cheering. But she allegedly attempted to shame her child into earning better grades at school. But now she shamefully has been arrested herself for child abuse. Now, Miss Melanie Joyce Alexander, she's 30. She's accused of beating her middle school daughter with a metal studded belt before sending her to school with a T-shirt flaunting the child's failing grades. That's what she had done. Now, she wrote on a T-shirt who made this. She beat the kid with a studded belt, which now apparently this kid got all F's. Like if you read this, the handwritten T shamed the child for earning F's in all her classes and further warned her friends and any prospective boyfriends to back off before I get another good whooping like I got last night. That's what this is saying. Basically what happened. So she beat her with like the belt, right? And then sent her to school in this T-shirt. Now, this is the part that cracks me up. And like, whatever, you know, you shouldn't beat your kid with a studded belt. Now, your kid comes home with all F's. You are straight up, you are obligated, if not required, to like make sure that that kid understands that that is not going to be accepted, that you are going to need to lay down some serious law. And I was spanked with wooden spoons growing up, and every time I got hit with one, it was 100% something I deserved because I asked for that shit, right? I straight up asked it for it. But what I'm saying is a wooden spoon is not, it stings, but it, like you move on. Like, and most of the times all my mama had to do was wiggle the kitchen drawer where they lived anyway. And I'd shape right the fuck up because I didn't want to get smacked across the tail end with a wooden spoon because that shit stung. And let me tell you, only put your hand back there once before you realize your ass takes a hit better than your freaking palm of your hand does or the backside of your hand. That shit stings. So if you listen to this and somebody comes at you with a wooden spoon, just let them go for the meaty part. Okay. Okay. So, okay. What I'm saying. So Melanie had done this to her kid, right? And then she made her wear this T-shirt that she wrote herself. Looks like the writing of a mother trucking serial killer, right? But it says, and they redacted the kid's name because she's underage, I'm sure. Okay, so it says, my name is blank because the kid's underage. They blanked that part out, of course. But it says, I currently have all F's in all of my classes. I am not allowed, spelled A-L-O-U-D, to have a boyfriend no time soon. So back off before I got last night. Oh, shit, I missed a line. Before I get another good whooping like last night. Also, I can no longer have any friends until all of my F's are all brought up to C's and up. Now, that I completely support this. The part that I get another good whooping, depending on that whooping was, but apparently it meant with a freaking studded belt, which it might be taken a little bit too far, and why my mama might be in prison or got arrested. I don't think she's still in jail, but she got arrested. But it goes on. That was not the end of it. So then it goes on. So unless you are helping me with this goal, back off. My eating French fries and being a social butterfly is over because I know why my parents send me to school. I now know the importance of my education. I will learn. I will listen to my teachers and be respectful at all times. I will do these things because I am failing blank due to my sorry. I can't even read this word. I think it's sorry, but it's like she tried to fix a mistake and then moved on. Okay, whatever. I am failing blank due to my social. That's what it is. It's a little smudge. I am failing blank due to my social life. Want to be my friend? Help me by not whatever she like blacked out here because the word of the apparently was not appropriate. But this is the T-shirt that the kid had to wear to school, right? And it's riddled with like bad grammar and all kind of shit. But I, aside from beating this chick with the belt, I fully support this mother. I support her 100% because I bet this is one sassy little girl in high school who thinks she knows everything and won't listen to her mama and or daddy or anybody else, aunt, grandmama, granddaddy, anybody. And this mama had had enough and like took her out with a belt and like worked out a lot of aggression that this child had probably worked up in her wrongly. And so now, but the thing is like now it's going to be this world of trouble for this poor family. I feel bad, but I am very glad I am not Melanie today because I would be in all a world of hurt because I made somebody wear a t-shirt and I could see myself making somebody wear a t-shirt like that out of some sort of punishment at some time or another. I could just see that happening. I'm just saying is all. That's just how that shit works. But there was a couple other shits I was going to talk about, y'all. But fuck, this shit caught up with a brother. I'm almost here to the end of the Hollywood Hick. Only I had like three other make you feel better about yourself people. Because one, you wasn't Melanie. I can't remember the rest of her last name. Like, who ended up in jail because she made her kid wear a horribly, horribly but badly written t-shirt and beat her with a studded belt. I think it's the studded belt part that got her in the most trouble, though, ain't it? But all right, so I'm going to leave y'all with this because once in a while, you come across some shit that you cannot deny is pretty mother trucking awesome. And when I say this is freaking awesome, it made me laugh until I peed myself because it is so, it is perfect. It is as damn near to something perfect as I've heard in a long fucking time. But Christina Aguilera was on the Jimmy Fallon, the Tonight Show, and he was playing this game about where they had to punch a button and it was like be a random singer and then a random song would come up and you had to do that song sounding like the singer, right? And so Christina Aguilera was doing it, and he was doing it too, and I feel like his were more planned than hers. Like they know who he can and can't do, which, and I get you don't want to look like a dumbass, but it should be a little bit more random, but whatever, I digress on that. But so Christina Aguilera, first, it came up as like Cher and some song. I forget what it is. But okay, check this out. This is Christina Aguilera doing Cher, and it's pretty fucking spot on. It's pretty damn good, all right? And then there's another one after this that it blew my mind. Okay, here we go. Christina Aguilera singing something, I can't remember what, as Cher.
The best part of waking up is Folgers.
I dare see Cher singing the Folger song. I couldn't remember what the fucking song was. See, the Folger song. That's why I couldn't remember. I should have wrote that shit down, but I didn't. But pretty good impression. I mean, it's still Christina Aguilera doing Cher, doing the Folger song, but it's still pretty good. But then after that, the second time she had to do it, she punched her button and it came up and couldn't have been better. It came up as Britney Spears doing This Little Piggy. You know, like This Little Piggy, whatever. You'll get it. But this is might be the best thing Christina Aguilera has ever done in her whole life ever, and I am a huge Christina Aguilera fan, even though she did get me arrested one time by sending me home from one of her concerts drunk, but that's a story for another day. But here is Christina Aguilera doing This Little Piggy as Britney Spears, and it's brilliant. Want to hear it? Here it go.
This little piggy went to the mall again. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy ate roses. When we all the way home.
Bitch nailed it. completely nailed it. Best Britney Spears impersonation I have heard ever. The best one I've heard ever. She mother trucking nails that shit. Completely nails it. I love it. So with that bit of joy that I threw to y'all here on the Hollywood Hick, that's it for me for another episode of the Hollywood Hick coming at you from the Florida Room here in Hollywood, California. I hope you're listening to all the programming here on the Crab Diving Network. You can follow me on the Twitters at Brent Paris, two R's in Paris, also at the H Wood Hick. You can tweet me both of those. If you don't like something, tweet me. If you do like something, tweet me. Oh, fuck. I forgot to talk. Remember last time I talked about I had my first hater? He replied because I sent him a message back and then like beat his ass up nicely because that's how I roll. And he replied back and I forgot to tell y'all about it. So I'm on the next one. I'll remember to do that because it's fucking good. I fucking made him fucking like freaking turn his tune around. Stat, mother truckers. All right. So that's it for me, y'all. This is Brent Paris, the Hollywood Hick. Y'all be good. I'm going to leave y'all one more time with my girl Christina doing Britney. Bye-bye, y'all.
Went to the This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy ate rose. When we were the